Good morning, everyone. Brother Scott, what? That was Ephesians chapter what?
4. 1 through 6.
I'm going to read that. Okay. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, because I did give Abraham the text, scripture, that I was going to be looking at. I didn't know. I'm just learning. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Which is so true. Only if the entire world would be able to understand that. The oneness, one, 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 one. Though we are many, like the many members that you have on your body. I asked a young gentleman, how many members do you have to your body? He said, I don't know. I said, well, maybe you should try counting. So when we start to count the members of our own body, then we can understand the perspective of what the Creator is trying to communicate to us. So when I got the call yesterday morning to stand in for Brother Scott, I started looking at lessons that I had previously put together. But then, as I was talking to Brother Scott this morning, I was like, you know, the lessons that I put together, every time I get ready to preach, I never teach on them. So they're just there. I say, you know, because it is the life of Christ that is in us that moves us in another direction. So, the coming of the Lord, not just his imminent coming, but when he come individually for you, his individual coming. That's why the scripture tell us, tomorrow's not promised to you. It'd be best that you say, if the Lord wills. Amen. Right? So, in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to read verse 13 and 14. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do, who have no hope. We talking to Christians. We don't want you to grieve. We need you to understand the transition that has taken place. Of course, we're going to miss our loved ones. See, because the outsiders don't have hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, the Elohim will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. That is very comforting to know when you have come to the frame of mind that you understand the purpose and the will of the Almighty. Because there are those in creation today that says this: in Psalms chapter 14, he says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. You know why the fool says in his heart, there is no God? This is what the Lord does in verse 2. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. Verse 3, they have all turned aside together. They have become corrupt. There is none who does good. Not even one. Look at Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 6. Isaiah 32 and 6. Says, for the fool speaks folly, and his heart is busy with iniquity, to practice ungodliness, to utter error concerning the Lord, to leave the craving of the hungry unsatisfied, and to deprive the thirsty of drink. We are not talking about an individual, a fool, that lacks intellectual ability. We are talking about a person that don't care about the poor. We are talking about a person that don't care about the needy, the hungry, the thirsty. This is what this fool is. We have so many fools on this planet today who are billionaires, and you have millions of people starving. The type of fools we got. That's why the Holy Scriptures tell them, warn the rich. Do not put your trust in uncertain riches, because you can't take them with you. So why? Young man said to me, according to our text scripture, 2 and 14 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14, says, I'm going to look at that, and we're going to start attacking that. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Look at Revelations 14 and 13. Revelations chapter 14, verse 13. John says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this: blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. Wicked, you can't get away. Wicked man can't get away. Non-believer can't get away. Infidel, you can't get away. Thoughts, actions, results. Your thoughts, the way you think, that's what you're going to do. If you think wickedly, then you're going to do wickedly. You see? He says, blessed indeed, says the Spirit. It is a wonderful thing to die in the Lord. We all will face that. Look at Revelation chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Revelation chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. The great multitude of people and nations and tongues and languages all stood before the throne of God. Then one of the elders addressed me, John, saying, who are these clothed in white robes? And from where have they come? I said to him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones coming out of great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Those who die in the Lord washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Something that a non-believer can never comprehend until he dies. It's a new birth into another realm. You guys understand that? Why must we die? You know, Jesus of the tribe of Judah, the conquering lion, he was the only one that was able to open the scroll. No one else couldn't open it. Why? Because what's written in the scroll is for all eternity. And only one that is eternal can read it. You see? So in Hebrews 9:27, the Spirit says, it is appointed unto man, and just as it is appointed unto man, for man to die once, and after this comes the judgment. Your deeds, your works, all that you have labored for in this life, you got your little wagon. You got all your deeds in your little wagon pulling it. Everything, your bag or whatever, it's there. Ain't no way of getting around it. So what are you practicing? We have an appointment with the Maker, the most perfect being. And a fool says in his heart, he does not exist. Why? Because he wants to live his life the way he wants to live. And that brings me to this point. Believing, they say, all you have to do is believe. You don't have to do nothing else. I can stay at home and watch Sunday football or basketball all day long. Long as I believe, long as I believe that the Creator exists, that's it. I don't have to do nothing else. God told me that the other day. I didn't even argue with him. I said, okay. You know, sometimes you just got to just not say anything. You know why I didn't say anything? I'm sure you know why. Because the Spirit didn't move me to say anything. That's why Christ told him, he said, leave them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall in a ditch. Leave them alone. You know, I'll sit down and I'll talk with you and let you know and show you some things. But like I told an individual, it's up to you. Mark 16:16, 15 and 16. Starting with verse 14. See, this is belief. You believe that God exists? Yeah, I believe that God exists. Well, you know the second part of that. The devils believe also and tremble. Do you tremble? No, you don't tremble. Because you have not seen what they have seen. That's why they tremble. If we catch a glimpse and still be able to live, we would tremble too. Because we know. But yet, our eyes have been opened. So we stand in awe and wonder, not in fear, in trembling. Because when you're trembling, something is wrong. The Great Commission, verse 14 in Mark chapter 16. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief. Unbelief. And hardness of heart, because they had not what? Believed those who saw him after he had risen. Now he is the life-giving spirit. You could be in a room, doors locked, and all of a sudden, boom, I'm here. You talking, and all of a sudden, Jesus appears. Bam! See, we don't understand that. Why? Because we ain't seen it. But the scripture says, blessed those who have not seen yet believe. That's us. That's us. And he said to them in verse 15, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes, whoever does what? Believes what? Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Whoever hears the gospel and believes shall what? Shall be saved. Right? To every creation. He says, go and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But they often says this part of the verse doesn't exist. But whosoever does not believe will be condemned. That doesn't exist. I don't know how you see that. That's what the world says. I don't know how you see that. What does it mean to be condemned? Destroyed. You know, and San Quentin. Yeah, I've been there, walked all through there. And they had this sign in one part of the prison that says, condemned. I said to one of my fellow inmates, what does that mean, man? He said, man, that's death row. That's death row over there. All the people over there are going to die.
I said, oh, that's what that condemned is? Yep.
Condemned. You're going to perish. That means that you will be forever away from the presence of the Almighty. That's what condemned is in this term. Because it's not that you will cease to exist. Your existence shall continue on. But, you see, we haven't seen it. So it's kind of hard for us to comprehend the figurative speech and language when the Creator talk about Gehenna and hellfire and all of that stuff, we find it hard to believe. See? Dying to self. Not only will we die physically, but we must die to self today in order to have the white robe. In order to be amongst the millions and the unnumbered number before the throne of the Almighty, wash our robes in white. That's how we wash our robes in white. We get baptized. And then we learn to die to self. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Matthew 16. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever will save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? You see, the life is the soul. See, when God says, fear no man, do not fear what they're going to do to your body and to your body and your soul, but fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Notice he left out something. What did he leave out? Spirit. See, because your body and your soul is that which makes up your personality. Of who you are. You have personality. That's you as the person inside the body. Right? So, this is why Christ came. This is why the life came. To show us how to deny self, that sin may not have dominion over our lives, that sin may not be the champion reigning in our lives. This is why the life came. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 2. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 2. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. What was made manifest to us? The life. See, the problem that we have today is you want to separate Jesus from the Christ, when in actuality they are one. And that's what the first century individuals had a problem with, accepting Jesus the man as the anointed Christ, the Messiah, being the same individual. So they said, nah, we're expecting someone else to come. Little did they know he was right before them, right? So in chapter 5 and verse 20 of that same book, says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. He had to come. To die in our place. In Hebrews, I'm closing up here. In Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 14 through 18. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. Since therefore the children share in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helped, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiations for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So he was found in the fashion of a man, deity. And so we have, unless he dies. John chapter 12 and verse 24. John 12 and 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. That is it. Christ came and died. That one grain. And this is something that is overlooked in the world today. The one died to bring many to glory. And that's what it is. We are the grains of Christ. Believe the promises of the Almighty. For he has said, he has come and given us an understanding of things that is to come, that is eternal life. The goal is to meet on the other side. That is the goal, to meet on the other side. I'll see you, honey, on the other side. I'll see you, cousin, on the other side. That is heaven or separation from the presence of the Lord. We want to always keep Brother Scott in our prayers for his loss, but I don't like that phrase. Thank you all for your attention. If you stand in need of prayer, we are